Please turn to Matthew chapter 13. Great to see you on this snowy day today. Eventually, we're going to get out of this. We're in the march. We're going to march on to victory. Amen. Away from all the snow. I was thinking, reading these scriptures the other day, and I got a thought about the Lord Jesus Christ. And my message today is this: He's not the carpenter's son. He's not the carpenter's son. Look at Matthew chapter 13 and verse 53, if you would. Stand with me. Read the Word of God. Glad to see each one. I'm in Matthew 13, verse 53. And I'll read it all the way down to the end of 58 there. In Matthew chapter 13, and verse 53, and it came to pass that when Jesus had finished these parables, he departed thence. And when he was come into his own country, he taught them in their synagogue, insomuch that they were... Now watch what it says in verse 54. I'm going to really preach off of 54 and 55. And when he was come into his own country, he taught them in their synagogue, insomuch that they were astonished and said, whence hath this man this wisdom and these mighty works? Is not this the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary, and his brother James and Joseph and Simeon and Judas? And his sisters, are they not all with us? Whence then hath this man all these things? You see, there was something special about Jesus that above all people that ever walked this earth. He was different from all people, mainly because he was the Son of God. And they were all offended in him, but Jesus said to them, a prophet's not without honor, save in his own country and his own house. And he did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief. I'm going to tell you, unbelief stops God from doing things. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for letting us read and preach your word and study it. I pray I can be a blessing. Holy Spirit, I believe you put this in my heart to preach, and I pray I can do well for you, Father. Help me to be a blessing to the people. Lord, put your hand on me that I might do well for you. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. You notice verse 54 again that I read. Look at the statements made about Christ. The first statement I see in 54, he taught them in their synagogue, and insomuch that they were astonished. They were astonished at Jesus' teaching. They couldn't get over how great a teacher he was. And then they said, whence has this man this wisdom? How can he be so smart? How can he tell us these things that we've never heard before? How can he understand things that we don't even understand ourselves? What great wisdom. By the way, James 1:5 says that if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. All wisdom comes from God. You go to school to learn knowledge, but you get wisdom from God. Book learning is knowledge. Wisdom comes only from God. And so we see that He did all those. Where did he get all that great wisdom? And all these mighty works. Notice that verse. And these mighty works. They're talking about the miracles that he performed. No doubt they had heard about him turning water into wine. No doubt they heard about him. Or they might have been there and seen things. Brother Rich, I believe they not only heard things about Christ, but they saw some of the miracles themselves. Like the healing of the sick, making the blind to see, the lame to walk, walking on water. Remember when there was a storm? He came walking out in this out at sea and actually calmed the waves. The wind and the sea obeyed his voice. Remember how he fed the 5,000? Then, of course, Lazarus raising dead. And by the way, I'm not going to go through all the miracles, but what I'm trying to say is when they talked about these in verse 54, these mighty works, they're talking about those miracles that Jesus did. See, not anybody could do those things. If I wish I could go out and say, snow, stop! Sun, turn up 50 degrees! I wish I had the power to do that. How about you? But I don't. And you don't either, by the way. Listen, Jesus was not the ordinary person. He was not a person that this world was accustomed to. You know what? Carl, it hasn't changed. They're still not accustomed to Jesus. Only his children are. They knew that Jesus was different from all other people. They knew that Jesus was special above all others. Get this, though, even though they knew that, they didn't know how or why Jesus did what he did. And they didn't know who Jesus really was. See, you can know about Jesus, but you need to know who he really is. They didn't know how or why they and who Jesus really was. In verse 54, how can he teach all these things, they said? How can he have such wisdom? How can he do all these miracles, these mighty works? Oh my, what statements they made about this Son of God here. And then in verse 55, I'm going to preach my message. In verse 50, is not this the carpenter's son? They were trying to look at Jesus and say, we know he's special. How could he have came out of Joseph? Now, Joseph was a good man and an upright man, but Joseph was a sinner just like you and I. He wasn't Jesus' father. Is not this the carpenter's son? I mean, how did Joseph come up with someone this perfect? The answer is he didn't. Joseph was not his father. Huh. No, this is not the carpenter's son. This is the Son of God. That's what they need to hear. Now, the reason Jesus could do all these things that made people stop and marvel so much everywhere Jesus went was that Joseph was not his father. The world tries to tell you he was. Joseph was not his father, but his father was God Almighty. Matthew 1:23, they said, they shall call his name Emmanuel. And the word Emmanuel means God with us. When Jesus was born, God came down in the form of a man. I want you to look at a scripture with me. If you'll just look at a few scriptures with me, and then I'm going to just have a blaster calling out some things about Christ. Look at 2 Corinthians 5:11. 2 Corinthians 5:19, I'm sorry. I know the scripture. I could quote it, but I wanted you to see it. 2 Corinthians 5:19. We're talking about, is this Joseph's son? No, it's not the carpenter's son. It's the Son of God. That's what these people were dealing with, Josh. They said, man, how did Joseph make someone like this? He didn't. Nobody could. Only God. Jesus was conceived by the Holy Ghost. He was God in the flesh. Look at 2 Corinthians 5:19 says, to wit, are you looking at the scripture? That God was in Christ. Listen, when Jesus was born, it was God that came down from heaven in the flesh. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses on them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Because see, God came for one reason, to reconcile the whole world unto him. because all of us are lost and undone and sinners away from God, and he came to reconcile, to bring us back to God. Amen? So God was in Christ, the Bible says there. He's not the carpenter's son. He's not the carpenter's son. He was God's son, only begotten son. Let me just quote this scripture to you. In John chapter 1, in verses 1 through 3, it says this. In John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. And it goes on and says, verse 3, all things were made by him, this Word, and without him was not anything made that was made. See, and then it says in verse 12, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Jesus was the Creator. Look up to me. When you see Christ born in Bethlehem, it was the Creator coming down to mankind. Hello? How many are still with me? I'm trying to make a point here. Look at a couple more scriptures, and then I'm going to give you some thoughts. Look at 1 John. 1 John, the back of your Bible. Chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. Is not this the carpenter's son? No, it's not the carpenter's son. It's the Son of God. Notice in 1 John 1:1, that which was from beginning, which we have heard, by the way, the beginning. See, Jesus always was. Don't turn to stay there in John, 1 John. Genesis 1:1 says, in the beginning, God. Come here with me. Well, that's Jesus. Jesus was in the beginning. In the beginning, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard. Look what John says. Which we have seen with our eyes. Which we have looked upon. Our hands have handled the word of life. Hallelujah. He said, we even touched it. Not only did we see him, we actually touched him. Wow. For the life was manifested and we have seen it. And bear witness and show unto you that the eternal life, which was with the Father, was manifested unto us. How it was manifested unto us? Through Christ. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that we may all have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. You want to have fellowship with the Father? You must have Christ as your Savior. It's impossible to... Unless you know Christ is your Savior, you can't have fellowship with him. Notice, Jesus was God come down in the flesh for all mankind. You're right there in 1 John. Look at Revelation. Look at Revelation chapter 1. Look at 4 through 8. John to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace from him which is... Which was, which is to come. Jesus was, he is right now, and he was, and he is to come. From the seven spirits on before his throne. And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness. Have you seen the faithful witness of Christ? I have. How many of you know Christ is your Savior? And the first begotten of the dead. The reason I know I'm going to raise from the dead, Eddie, my Savior rose from the dead. He's got power to raise. He's got power to raise us, and the prince of the kings and the earth, unto him that loved us, and washed us from our sins in his what, own blood. See, when Christ was on the cross of Calvary, from 9 o'clock to 3 o'clock in the afternoon, 6 hours he was on that cross. 6 hours he suffered and agonized, and for 6 hours He shed his blood. The Bible says the life of the blood, the life of the flesh is in the blood. And when Jesus, Brother Jesse, when Jesus was on the cross, he shed his blood. He gave his life for you and I. Stay with me. How many are still with me? Listen, Jesus, look at that. Verse 5. And from the Jesus Christ, who's a faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of kings in the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. You don't get to heaven by works. You don't get to heaven by being a church member. You don't get to heaven by being baptized. You get to heaven by trusting Christ and that shed blood that he did for you for your sins. If you're not trusting 100% on Christ and his blood that was shed for you, you're not saved. I'm not going to go to heaven because I'm a preacher. I'm not going to go to heaven because I'm a member of Bethel Baptist Church. I'm going to go to heaven because one day I saw myself a lost sinner. I got down on my knees and said, Lord, come into my heart and save my soul. Right then, Brother John, he applied the blood when I asked him as my Savior. He's made us kings, priests unto God, his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Behold, verse 7, the choir was singing about it. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all the kindred of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. By the way, Brother Coolidge, this is not the rapture, that's the revelation. The rapture, the Bible says he's going to call us up in the twinkling of an eye. Just like, blink your eyes. 1 minute we're here, and 1 minute. That's the calling up. This here is 7 years later. The rapture happens 7 years before this revelation happens. Kenny, when you see this, when we come back, we've already been up in heaven with him for 7 years. We're going to come back riding white horses. Yeah, giddy up, horsey. Hi, old silver! Dun, 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 dun. Man, that's going to be exciting. I told you years ago the story about my horse truck when I was a teenager. We went and rented these horses, and my buddies, they could ride, but I couldn't. Man, they start taking off, and they were riding. And my horse took right after theirs. Only I didn't know how to ride a horse. Man, I'm grabbing on, holding on. So finally, I just think, I put my arms around that horse's neck, and I said, I'll choke you to death. It didn't bother him. He just kept going. Man, we were brushing through trees, going through. I said, oh, my, it's a miracle I didn't get killed. I actually paid for that. That's the best Cedar Point ride you ever ride. When I got off, I almost popped in the nose, my buddies in the nose. But I couldn't, man, when that horse finally got back to where we started, I was so glad to get off that horse. And the only horses I've been riding now are the ones in front of Walmart, you know, the 25-cent ones. You know, that's the only ones I'll do now. But one day, I'm all prepared because Jesus. One day he's going to say, children of God, saddle up! And I'm not going to worry about that white horse, because I'm going to have the grace of God all around me. And I'm going to say, hi-yo! And this time I know I'm going to be all right. Amen? But until then, I'm going to wait for God. Notice now, is not this the carpenter's son? No, it's not the carpenter's son. I mean, Joseph was a good man, but he couldn't bring us Jesus. Joseph was a sinner. Did you know Jesus died for Joseph as much as he did you and I? He died for Mary as much as he did you and I. Now, listen, this is not the carpenter's son. Stay with me. Jesus was the God-man that came down from heaven. Did I read verse 8? I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending. You want to know what Alpha and Omega means? The beginning and ending. The King James Bible tells you. You read the King James Bible, you got the right Bible. And which set the Lord, which is, which was, and which is to come, the Almighty. He's coming. I watched the news, and I see a lot of things going on by Russian, different countries, Ukraine and stuff like that. And I see all the world, different events of the world. And I'm going to tell you right now, Jesus is coming soon. You say, what on world's going, what's going on with this world? It's up like tipped upside down, tossed to and fro. I'm going to tell you, it's waiting for Christ to come back. Well, at first he's going to call us up. Brother Mike, if we think it's bad now, wait till the rapture happens. When the Christians are removed and the salt of the earth is removed, you ain't seen nothing yet. Brother Carl, we're just seeing previews of what's going to happen. I'm glad I'm going up. How about you? Now notice with me, he's not the carpenter's son. Jesus is God's only begotten son, John 3:16. Listen, he's not the carpenter's son. No, he's not the carpenter. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, according to John 14:6. He's not the carpenter's son because he's eternal life, according to John 10:28. He's not the carpenter's son. Jesus is the light of the world, according to John 8:12. And by the way, if you don't know Christ, you're in darkness. The Bible says he was the light of the world, and we're the children of light when you take him as your Savior. Watch. You wonder why. You say, what is wrong with the people out there? They're in darkness. I don't care how many degrees they have. Now, if you don't know Christ as your Savior, you're walking in darkness. I thank God for the few hundred people that come here every Sunday. But I'm going to tell you something. Most of this Portage County is in darkness. Now, I know there's saved people all around here. Not they just don't all just come here. But I'm going to tell you, you're the very, 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 I don't care what your skin color is. I'm talking about Christian or non-Christian. We're the minority. Hello? You're the minority. But I'm glad I'm children of light. And they look at us, Steve, and they say, you're whacked. We heard about your preacher down there. His face turns red when he preaches. He raises his voice. He jumps up and down. The boy, his kid, just the same way. What's going on down there? We're just excited about who we are. We're a child of God. We're the children of light. Man, I've been brought out of darkness into light. 40 years ago, I was an alcoholic on the streets going to hell. And one day, God saved my soul and brought me out of that darkness. Man, I'm a child of the King. I'm light in the world. The Bible says in Matthew, let your light shine that men might see your good works. Why? That they might glorify your Father which is in heaven. Are you still with me? He's not the carpenter's son. No. No, he's not. He's the bread of life. He's not the carpenter's son. He's the bread which came down from heaven, according to John 6:50. He's not the carpenter's son. He's the living bread, according to John 6:51. Can anyone say amen? He's not the carpenter's son. He's the I am of the Bible. Look at Exodus 3:14. Look at Exodus 3:14. Who is this? Is this the carpenter's son? No, he's not the carpenter's son. Way beyond that. He's the Son of God. Look at John. Who is this the carpenter's son? No, he's the I am of the Bible. This Christ. Exodus 3:14 says, and God said unto Moses, I am that I am. I love this verse. I have it highlighted in my Bible. And he said, thus thou shalt say unto the children of Israel, I am, because Moses kept saying, Who should I tell them sending me? How are they going to believe me? How are they going to know I got authority from God? God said to Moses, you go back to the people of Israel and you just tell them, I am. I am has sent you. And when he told them, I am sent you, he said, God, because they knew who I am meant. They said, oh my lands, God sent him. Who is this? Is this the carpenter's son? No. No, this is the I am of the Bible. How many are still with me? What'd you say, Moses? He said, tell him I am had sent me. I am. Yeah, Jesus is the I am of God, Exodus 3:14. Jesus said, I am the great shepherd. I am the good shepherd. I am the door. I am the way. I am the resurrection of life. I'm the true vine. I'm the branch. I'm the living water. All through the scriptures in the New Testament, Jesus kept saying, I am, I am, I am, I am. I'll tell you who I am. I'll tell you my name. I am. That's why he said in John 8:58, after he talked to those Pharisees and scribes, he said, hey, before Abraham was, John 8:58, before Abraham was, I am. Woo! And man, when he said that, the religious group got mad. The liberals got mad. Because when he said before Abraham was, because they were bragging about, we're the children of Abraham. He said, are you nuts? Hey, Buckle, I was way before Abraham. Abraham's seen my day. Listen, before Abraham, matter of fact, I'll take it even farther for you so you can really understand. Before Abraham was, I am. And Brother Carl, when he said that to them, they knew exactly that Christ was saying, hey, you're looking at God, pal. They took up stones, says that, and they tried to kill him. But he was the I am of the Bible. Can anyone say amen? He's not the carpenter's son. No, he's the I am of the Bible. Can anyone say amen? Praise God, he's not the carpenter's son. He's God's only begotten son. Listen, Jesus is not the carpenter's son. No, he's our advocate. He's the bread of life. He's the bridegroom. He's the chief cornerstone. Listen, Luke 1:78, he is the dayspring on high. I'm going to tell you, that's who this Jesus is. He's not the carpenter's son. Listen, he's not the carpenter's son. His name is Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. That's who Jesus is. Can anyone say amen? Listen, he's not the carpenter's son. He's the Holy One of God, according to Mark 1:24. Listen, he's not the carpenter's son. Jesus is a friend of sinners, according to Matthew 11:19. He's not a carpenter's son. He's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother, Proverbs 18:24. Can anyone say amen? He's not the carpenter's son. He's the gift of God. John 4:10. He's not the carpenter's son. He's the King of Israel. Matthew 2:2. Listen, he's not the carpenter's son. Revelation 19:16. He's the King of Kings, Lord of Lords, Mighty King. He's my King. He's our coming King. Can anyone say amen? In 1 Peter 1:20, he says this. He's the Lamb of God slain before the foundation of the world. That's who this is. He's not the carpenter's son. Hallelujah, I'm glad he isn't. How about you? Listen, in John 1:29, when John the Baptist had a mission for Christ. And John the Baptist in 1:20, he sees Christ coming on the out of him. And when he first sees him, he says, behold, the Son of God that taketh away the sins of the world. Let me read that to you. When he said, behold, the Lamb of God which taketh away the sins of the world. That's who he is. He wasn't the carpenter's son. He's the Lamb. Christ was the Lamb that took away the sins of the world. Can anyone say amen? If he was the carpenter's son, Brother Josh, we'd still all be in our sin. We'd still be going to hell. We'd have no hope. I'm glad he wasn't the carpenter's son. Listen, he's not the carpenter's son. According to Song of Solomon 2:1, he's the rose of Sharon and the lily of the valley. Hallelujah. Listen, Revelation 1:8 tells us that he's the Alpha and Omega. He's not the beginning and the end. He's not, and we read that scripture earlier, he's not the carpenter's son. The people we read in, now listen, I'm closing. Well, I'm a lot closer than I was. You that are here visiting, I always try to let you know I'm getting close. I'm close. Boy, you can't beat God's word though, can you? Boy, I'm glad he wasn't the carpenter's son. I'm glad he was the Son of God. I'm glad he loved us so much, Brother Bobby, that he was willing to leave heaven and come down and die for you and I. He was, the Bible says, he was a just that died for the unjust, that he might bring us unto God. The people we read there in our text verse in Matthew 13, 40, 54 and 55, I want you to really get this, as I am closing, I really am. They heard about Jesus. Remember my text verse that we started with? I'm wrapping it all up now. They really heard about Jesus, but they didn't know Jesus. They didn't know who Jesus really was. There's a lot of people, you go up and ask, say, do you know, you go in America, you can ask people, do you know Jesus? Oh yeah, we heard about him. Christmas time, Easter. How many are still with me? Boy, I'm glad we live in a country that we can still preach the gospel. I shared this with you before, and I've never forgot it. When I went to Germany, oh, probably, I don't know how many, 6-7 years ago, I don't know how many years it's been. We started Bethel Baptist Church in Stuttgart, Germany, with brother our missionary, Harold Pierce. And I remember going over that on that flight. And I you had to switch planes and stuff, and I ended up sitting next to this little Russian girl, probably in her early 20s, somewhere mid-20s. Ruthie, I'll never forget as long as I live. And we were coming, I started to witness to her. And she was smart as she was going in to teach school in Germany. She knew several languages and real educated gal. And I said, I'd like to tell you about Jesus. She said, I've never heard about Jesus. She said, I've never heard about Jesus. And Ruthie, she let me preach to her for about 20 minutes before the plane landed. She didn't get saved. Can you imagine living in a country where you've never heard about Jesus? Don't tell me we don't need missionaries. Amen. We have abundance of the gospel here in America. But when you get over in Europe, they don't know about Christ. And I saw her eyes. And I've never forgotten. And I remember the guy, I took a picture of the, there was an old guy sitting, and I've got slides of it. The old guy sitting in front of that big cathedral that I went by in. He was just sitting out there, and I talked to him, and I gave him a track, and I prayed with him. And I just saw the emptiness. I saw an emptiness of people everywhere I went. It was scary, Eddie. They were going about their lives, but I'm going to tell you right now, they never heard of Christ. And what was even sadder, they didn't care to hear about Christ. Aren't you glad you're an American? God's blessed America. America's greatness doesn't come from America. America's greatness comes from God. When you read those in Matthew 13, verse 54, this is really important. They had seen Jesus, they heard about Jesus, but they didn't know who Jesus really was. They personally didn't know Jesus as their Savior. Get this now. They realized he was someone special, but they didn't realize he was especially sent for them to be their Savior. They didn't know he was especially for them. Last verse. I want everyone to turn to it. 1 Timothy 4:10. I'm closing. This is not the carpenter's son. Oh, he's a Savior of the world. He wants to be your Savior if he's not. Look at 1 Timothy 4:10. 1 Timothy, and I'm all done. 1 Timothy 4:10 says this, for therefore we both labor. How many have got 1 Timothy 4:10? For therefore we both labor and suffer reproach. Because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men. Watch. Stay with me. Look up here. Everybody look at me. I'm not done. I'm going to read that last sentence to you. Jesus came to be the Savior of all men. Of all men, no matter where they live. No matter what color, creed. He came for every human being. He died for every human being. Are you with me yet? Now watch what it says there. I deliberately stopped. Because we trust in the living God who is the Savior of all men, especially of those that believe. He's the Savior for all men because He came for all men, but not all men will trust Him. Not all men receive Him, but those that do receive Him. Look what it says. He's the Savior especially of those that believe. Hallelujah, Brother John. I'm glad that I believed on Him. I'm not special, but He's special. I don't know what service we were in. Might have, may have been on Wednesdays. Someone brought up about the Calvinist. Calvinists believe that they don't believe in whosoever will may come. They believe if you're going to get saved, you're going to get saved. It's already predetermined that you're an elect. And I said this to you, and I mean this. Someone needs to hear this. Brother Myers, I know that in the foreknowledge of God, He knew I was going to be saved. God knew it. How many are still with me? But until that day, back at the old duplex when me and Rosie first got married, in front of that old green couch, and the lamps and the chair, I paid $110 for everything when we first got married. Avocado green. Chairs, lamps, end tables, $110. Boy! I was thinking about that Buick I bought in 1960. You know I bought a brand new Buick out of a Rourke Buick in Toledo, Ohio? In the showroom. Johnny, a Grand Sport Buick, white. Had the black roof on it, all leather inside. Had a high performance engine. Man, did I ride that car, Brother Nowak, $3,333, brand new, a showroom. That'll get some. He's saying, "Come on, preacher, you think you could buy a new car now for $3,300?" Preacher did. That kind of dates the preacher, don't it? But I remember, but I was thinking about that the other night. Man, I wish I could go back and get that Buick for $3,333. I put chrome rims on it. Boy, that thing was hot. Boy, did it move. Don't do that. Get a slow car, especially when you're a kid. But I remember that night when I got down from that old green couch. And I realized I was going to hell. And I was crying. I said, "Oh, dear God, forgive me of all my sins and save my soul and take me to heaven when I die." I remember that. And that day, Christ saved me. And that day, John, I became part of the elect. I wasn't in the elect till I elected to take Christ as my Savior. Whosoever will may come. Anybody can get saved. If God will save a guy like me, He'll save anybody. Have you trusted Him? No, this is not the carpenter's son. He's the Savior of the world. Have you met Him? This is not the carpenter's son. No, it's the Savior of the world. Came down for you and I. I'm glad He came down. I'm glad for John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Do you know who Jesus is? He's not the carpenter's son, but he's the Son of God. Have you received him in your heart as Savior? Let's bow our heads in prayer. That makes a difference. They saw him. They heard him. But they didn't know him as their personal Savior. They said, is this not the carpenter's son? How can this be possible? Well, he wasn't the carpenter's son. He was the Son of God that came down for them. But by the way, he came down for you also. And today, if you've never taken him as your Lord and Savior, I want to give you an opportunity right now to ask Christ to come in your heart and be your Savior, forgive you of all your sins, and take you to heaven when you die. By the way, a lot of us will not see death, I believe, because I believe the rapture is so close. I believe the coming of God's children is so close. We can see it any time. If you're not saved, you won't see it. You'll be left behind. Is not this the carpenter's son? No. No, it's not the carpenter's son. No, he's the Son of God. He came just for you. Every head bowed and every eye closed. I wonder how many could say, Pastor, I know for sure there was a day I saw myself a lost sinner. I realized I needed Christ to save my soul from hell and take me to heaven. And I've asked Christ to save me. Could you raise a hand? I know he's my Savior. I know for sure he's my Savior. Thank you. You may put him down. Is there anyone here that would say, Preacher, and I won't come to you and I won't embarrass you. I promise you, I give my word, I won't embarrass you. But I'd like to pray for you. Maybe you're here and you say, you know, Preacher, I'm not sure if I died, I'd go to heaven. I'm really not sure if I died, I'd go to heaven. And I don't want to die in my sins and go to hell, especially after Jesus came for me so I could go to heaven. How many can say, Preacher, I'm not saved, but I'd like to be saved. Pray for me. Just raise that hand. Let me see it. Who would say that? Pastor, I'm not sure if I'd go to heaven, but I'd sure like to know if I'd go to heaven. Just pray for me. Raise that hand. Say, Pastor, I'm not sure. I'm not sure. Please pray for me. I'm not sure, but I'd sure like to be sure. See, I don't have a hope-so salvation. I have a no-so salvation. I'm counting 100% on Christ. These things are written that you might know that you have eternal life, and that you might believe on the Son of God. Maybe you just need to get closer back to God. Maybe you've drifted away from the Lord. And you say, Pastor, pray for me. I need to get back to Christ. I've drifted away a little bit. I need to get closer. Pray for anyone like that today? Pray for me. Yes. Yes. God bless you. God bless you. Yes. Yes, I see. Yes. Yes, I see that hand. God bless you. Father, thank you for being our Savior. Thank you for not being the carpenter's son, but thank you for being God's only begotten Son. Lord, I pray if there's anyone here that's never trusted you as Savior. Those people over there in Matthew 13, they knew there was something different about Christ, but they didn't know him personally. A lot of people all over the world know about Jesus, but they don't know him personally. I pray if there's some here that's never received you as Savior, Holy Spirit of God, work in their heart. Help them to come forward and trust you as Savior today. Don't let them go another day without knowing you as Savior. And Father, there's several hands went up both sides of the building. Said they needed to get closer to you. I pray they'll draw nigh to God, and you'll draw nigh to them. Work in all of our hearts. Warm all our hearts from heaven. Help us to feel the love and glow of Christ within us through the Holy Spirit. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Let's stand. We're going to sing a verse of invitation. What page are you on, John? 382. If you'd like to come for any reason, you come right now.